Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I want to welcome you to the program today. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the issues we'll be discussing today, Wednesday, May 29th, 2013. We're going to talk about the central banks and how they are acting with a new boldness to revitalize economies. We're going to talk about the U.S. dollar. We're going to talk about Sweden and what happens with an overabundance of multiculturalism and many other topics. So make sure you stay tuned. But first, let's start today's financial survival with the market report. Gold today, ninth day in gold for a Wednesday afternoon, up $13. At $13.95. Silver's up 19 cents today at $22.56. And with a strong day, platinum palladium had yesterday, you have platinum down 7 at $14.61, with palladium down 8 at $752. The USDX today trading down 0.59 at $83.65. And crude oil today is also weaker, down 189 at $93.12. Paper markets today were a little to the weak side, but, you know, 100 points down, you know, I don't see much of a problem or anything to be, you know, wait till it falls 800 points. And that's what, then you get excited. You have the Dow down 100 points today at 15,302, NASDAQ down 21 at 34.67, S&P down 11 at 16.48. The 10-year is moving up quite a bit, 2.12%. And so you also had the U.S. stocks lower. I guess fears that the Fed will end the stimulus. Al, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Melody.
Fears and more fears.
Yeah, I understand. But we're in the midst of a recovery. How come we're so fearful if we're in the midst of a recovery? That's my question. People apparently just don't seem to understand. The government says, well, we're in the midst of a recovery, and yet people are fearful. Is that because the government doesn't know what's going on, or is it because the people don't know what's going on, Melody? What do you think?
Well, I have a feeling it's more the people.
I think the government knows what's going on,
Absolutely.
Too, but they're just lying. That's
they're
the problem.
Just lying. Exactly. Yeah.
They know more about it than we do, but they are reduced to lying. And, you know, this is, it's not a small thing. to observe the government's lies, because ultimately they're the consequences of a currency that is fundamentally a lie. When you have a pure fiat currency, the whole idea behind this is to try to bamboozle people into believing that your little worthless pieces of paper actually have some significant value. And this delusion or illusion is maintained with lies. The only way it can be sustained is people have to have confidence in those little green pieces of paper. And the government knows if we lose confidence in little green pieces of paper that the whole system goes belly up. And so they are reduced to lying in order to try to maintain our confidence. And it's one of these scenes when you begin to look at it and you understand it, or at least my opinion, you see an illustration of that old, I'm not sure, aphorism or cliche or whatever. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. We have a fundamental lie in this society that goes all the way back to 1971 when the dollar became a pure fiat currency. And government has worked mightily to try to sustain the illusion that it has value when in fact it does not. And their efforts have even included invading Iraq. And God knows how many people have died while we try to support the fiat dollar and maintain the illusion, the lie, that it has significant value. Again, we've been through it a bunch of times. I think the audience understands this, but it is a virtual certainty that the real reason we invaded Iraq, it certainly wasn't to find weapons of mass destruction. That was just a pretext. They didn't have any. Reason we're there is because Iraq had the audacity under Saddam Hussein, had the audacity to start selling its crude oil for currencies other than the fiat dollar. And from 1971 or thereabouts until when Saddam Hussein started selling Iraqi crude for euros back about 2001, up until that point for 40 years basically, well, I guess it would be 30 years at that point, the dollar had been implicitly backed by petroleum. If anyone wanted petroleum, they had to first have dollars because OPEC and Saudi Arabia had agreed that they would only sell their crude oil for dollars. And it created an artificial demand for paper dollars, and the artificial demand created the illusion that the dollars had value. But they didn't have any intrinsic value, and the balance of it was, you know, it was just derivative, illusory, and so on. Saddam Hussein threatened that illusion. He threatened the lie, and next thing you know, Iraq is invaded. And we stayed there for 8.5 years, and I have no idea how many people were killed and maimed. I have no idea how much American wealth was squandered. There's nothing good that came out of that Iraq war that I'm able to understand, and it was all about trying to maintain the lie. And here we are, getting closer and closer to what may be the end of the fiat dollar. And as we approach its day of reckoning, the government tries to support it with more and more lies. And it is endemic. It's not just an observation in the sense that you look at these things, you say, oh, they're telling a lot of lies. It pollutes. It perverts our entire system of government. Once we embrace a lie as fundamental as a fiat currency, it communicates throughout the whole system. We're watching the price of gold go up and down dramatically. And clearly due to manipulation. They don't even bother to conceal that they're manipulating the price anymore. Or they barely bother to conceal it, if at all. They don't come out and admit it. But you look at the charts, and all of a sudden you see these waterfall events where the price of gold is hammered down. Why? To maintain the lie that the fiat dollar has intrinsic value. And we're caught in that web of lies, and sooner or later they're going to fail. The truth will come out, and when it does, there's going to be heck to pay.
And you know, Al, this is something we've been talking about. We've been talking about for 20 years. And really, yes, we have various situations along the way, the booms and busts, the stock market, the housing problem, the dot-com problem, and so forth. But all of these are all generated back to the currency. Mm-hmm. And we can predict the future. We predicted what was going to happen today, maybe not the specifics, but we knew along the path, once they took us off the gold standard, that this is what happens. You have a currency that's being devalued. There's a guy by the name of Dick Bove. B-O-V-E. He's a vice president of Rafferty Capital Markets. And he said that in a note. He says, generally speaking, it is not believed by the vast majority that the American dollar will be overthrown. But he says, but it will be. And this defrocking may occur in as short a period as 5 to 10 years. And we've been talking about this for how many years? I think it will be shorter than this. However, he's making the point that he uses several metrics to make his point. He focuses on the dollar as a percentage of total world money supply. Yeah. He said that total has plunged from nearly 90% in 1952 to closer to 15% now. And yeah. He also notes that the Chinese yuan and the yen and the euro have a greater share of that total. And when compared to its peers, the dollar has drifted to a 15-year low. And that's according to the IMF. Mm-hmm. And it's also indicating that more countries are willing to use other currencies to do business. And so, yes, the American currency still reigns supreme. It constitutes about $3.7 trillion or 62% of the $6 trillion in allocated foreign exchange holdings by the world's central banks. And with the deficit that we have.
It reigns supreme, kind of. I mean, I'm sure that everybody who's holding on to those dollars, though, is having second thoughts.
Well, they're wondering
how do they get rid of the old maid. That's what it comes down to.
Well, it's not reigning the supreme if we compare to where it was back in 1952.
No, I agree.
To where it is now. So yeah. Certainly it is losing that.
But what was true back in 1952? Mm-hmm. What was true? It was still, for foreigners, it was still redeemable in gold. They still said, yes, it's good as gold. And of course it would dominate. As long as you would redeem paper dollars with gold out of the U.S. Treasury, yeah, buddy. That was a currency the whole world could get hold of. They said, yes, sir, we like those dollars. But 1971 closed the gold window, and what happened to the price of gold? It jumped from $35 an ounce to $175 an ounce in 4 years. That's a 400% increase in the price of gold once they closed the gold window and they stopped redeeming the gold, stopped redeeming paper dollars with gold for foreigners that were holding the paper dollars. And the price of physical gold jumped 400% in 4 years. And since then, in terms of the $35, that was price of gold in 1971 until they closed the gold window. The price of gold is up 39 times compared to what it was in 1971. That's in 42 years. We are almost talking about 100% increase per year. Now, that's relative to $35. It doesn't mean that it went up 100% since last year. It went from 2008 to 2009. It didn't jump up 100%. But as compared to the original price, back in 1971, $35, gold is 39 times more expensive today than it was back then in terms of paper dollars as compared to 35. And the reason it's important, and I wrote an article that was in the American Survival just this last issue, and therefore some of the ideas are still semi-fresh in my mind. The reason it's important is because we are witnessing a very similar process taking place right now. Just as Nixon closed the gold window and he stopped redeeming paper dollars for gold, we are watching a situation with the gold markets, both in England and here in the United States, where the time is fast approaching, where those gold markets, COMEX, for example, may not be able to redeem. It may be common knowledge that they can't redeem their paper gold futures contracts with physical gold. For the moment, it is believed that paper gold, meaning these future contracts, are as good as physical gold. That belief is waning, but it still supports that there's an equivalence. That equivalence is based on delivery. So long as you can take a piece of paper and you can trade that piece of paper in, you believe you can trade that piece of paper in for gold, then that piece of paper is good as gold. It'll be that it's not really good as gold, but it'll be that that idea will be accepted. But as soon as they shut the window, the gold window, at COMEX and any of the other major bullion markets, when they can't redeem at that point in time, we are going to see the same, in my opinion, we'll see the same thing we saw when Richard Nixon closed the gold window on the dollar. He refused to continue to give, they had dollars, they went and came up and said, we'd like to trade these in for gold. He said, forget it, we're not doing that anymore. We will not redeem the paper dollars with gold. When COMEX makes the same argument relative to gold in their markets, and they say we are no longer going to redeem gold future contracts with physical gold, when they make that determination, and they must, when that happens, we can expect an event very similar to what we saw in 1971. It will not be surprising. It's not unreasonable. It's not impossible. It's happened before. The price of gold could jump 400% in the following 4 years. And that won't be, that's not exaggerated. It's not hyperbolic. It's happened before. It could happen again. And it's something like that is going to happen. As soon as the markets say, sorry, we can't give you gold because we don't have it, or we're no longer willing to part with it. But when it happens, we're going to see the physical price of gold jump, just like we did back in 1971. And when it jumps, there's no reason to suppose that it couldn't go, again, 400% in 4 years, and maybe a lot sooner than that. That would translate into something like $6,000 gold, increased by a factor of four times in a matter of just a couple of years. We could be talking about $6,000 gold, $5,500, $6,000 gold, and it could be higher than that short time. We have seen this before. There's no reason to suppose that this very similar reaction won't take place when COMEX finally says, sorry, don't have any more gold.
And, you know, what people don't understand, I think, and I think probably in the past month, particularly since we had the 200-point drop in gold and the big drop in silver, I think I've heard more comments saying, I'm waiting to see where gold is going to go. There's predictions of gold being out there at $1,100. There's predictions of silver going to $20, and we're at $22.50. And you know what? Sometimes if you figure out particularly in silver, how much are you really saving if it drops to $2, and by the time you add on the premiums and so forth, you know, and depending on how much you're looking to purchase, of course, any savings is important. But that is a big issue. People believe the prices are going to go lower in gold and silver. And we have often talked a long time, you can't time the markets. If you're going to buy, you get in there and you buy. And I saw a comment by Michael Pento. He says, the number one security issue we have as a nation is the preservation of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. He says, it's 1,000 times more important than a nuclear bomb. And that is what they're trying to do, because they know where the dollar is going. And once that bond market crashes, once you have a bond market crisis, that is when you'll see the dollar begin to drop along with the bond prices. And to me, that's what will set the whole thing off. And so if folks want something they can watch and follow along to see when this thing begins to come unglued, follow your bond prices.
It's been coming unglued
for a long time.
Ever since 1971.
You're right.
You could trace it back even to 1933, but from 1971, they have struggled manfully to hold this thing together, to hold this illusion, this farce, this lie. And people have died in the process of holding this lie together but it's coming to an end. It's just not going to be sustainable for a great deal more time, in my opinion. And when it goes, we're going to see the price of gold jump, skyrocket. And those of you who have gold are going to be happy campers, and those of you who don't are going to say, oh my gosh, I could have bought gold back when it was $1,400 an ounce. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, give Melody a call. She will be back in the office as soon as we finish this program up. In about 40 minutes, she'll be available. 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
And I just want to have the listeners to make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And if you have any questions for the program today, you can direct them to questions at dgscoins.com. Questions at dgscoins.com. And if you'd like to call in a question for Al or myself, staying on topic, you can call us at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. And we do have a question in from Richard. He says, if they stop quantitative easing, mainstream media says this would cause gold to crash. He thinks gold would soar because interest rates would soar, deficits would soar, interest on the debt would soar, defaults on payments, and on. What do you think? And how come U.S. Treasuries are not rated junk if nobody wants them? Why do we need S&P to tell us what is obvious?
Well, I'm not sure why we need S&P to tell us what's obvious, but if in the event that we have some sort of an economic breakdown, in a worst case scenario, gold is going to increase in value, in my opinion, because cash is king during a depression. And what will be the cash? During the Great Depression, what was the cash? People think of it as paper dollars, but all those paper dollars were backed by silver during the Great Depression. They would have been backed by gold, except they took the gold out in 1933 from backing the dollar. So for most of the Depression, gold did not back the dollar. The cash that was king, it looked like paper, but it was all backed by silver. Silver, the precious metal, was king during the Great Depression. During the next Depression, it'll be gold and perhaps silver besides that. But cash will be king because as prices go down, gold will become more valuable, relatively speaking. You'll be able to buy more with an ounce of gold than you could previously if we go into a period of deflation. If we have inflation, the price of gold will go up for sure. If we have deflation, the price of gold might not go up, but it will not fall as fast as everything else does. And in my opinion, it's one of those peculiar situations where heads you win and tails they lose. If the economy goes better, price of gold goes up. If the economy goes worse, price of gold will at least increase its purchasing power. Hard to say what will happen to price exactly. That's a little confusing, I suppose, but when it comes to making predictions, I guess maybe they are all to some degree confusing. But I saw someone make a point the other day that I thought was interesting and insightful. And they pointed out that gold is not an industrial metal, unlike silver. Gold is almost, it has some industrial applications, but that's not what gold is primarily about. Gold is a monetary metal. And it means that anytime we get into trouble, people are going to move to gold, unless there's manipulation afoot. But even then, we're going back to gold. We get into trouble, we'll go to gold. We get into inflation, if the economy ever does get hot again, we go into inflation, we'll go to gold. For me, you just about can't lose on this thing. It's virtual certainty, particularly when COMEX closes the door. They are allegedly, according to some reports, selling 99 ounces of paper gold, trading 99 ounces of paper gold for every ounce of physical gold. Those numbers may be exaggerated, but nevertheless, some people believe those are credible figures. What it implies is there's no way in the world that COMEX can redeem all of its paper gold. It's gold future contracts with physical gold. And if it can't be done, when that knowledge becomes apparent, price of gold is going to jump. So in any case, what do you think, Mildred?
Well, you know, when the dollar loses the status as the most reliable currency, the U.S. is forced to pay their debt. And what you've often said is we have a debt too big to be repaid.
Yep.
And so what happens is the dollar doesn't offer that safety that investors come to expect. They will not function as the stable collateral required by bank funding markets. The dollar will not be regarded as an attractive form in which to hold international reserves. So this is what happens, and it is true, the big snowball or the very first domino that goes. And it is going, but it just hasn't picked up speed. They've been able to hold it off. They've been able to slow it down a little bit with the quantitative easing and, helping the rest of the world, I think, also. You know, we're certainly helping Europe and other places in order to achieve an illusion that things are fine. But, look at the European markets. I mean, they've all roared, and they're all falling apart. How's that work? It works by government creating money out of thin air.
That's how it works. They create the money. The money is a lie. They use the lie to create an illusion in terms of what's happening in the markets. And all it means is a bunch of people are... And the reason they do it is because confidence is so vital when you use a fiat monetary system. You must maintain public confidence. And if the only way you can maintain public confidence is by shoring up, artificially boosting the prices in the stock market to create the illusion that we're back in a prosperous era, that's what they will do. They have to use lies to support the fundamental lie of fiat currency.
And the GDP out there, the generally dumb public, you know, confidence is extremely high. And why is it extremely high? The stock market's over 15,000. That's all they can relate to. That's all their minds can understand. Mm-hmm. So I don't care if the Dow gets to 20,000. Our problem is still here. We have a dollar that is dying, and it isn't going to change. There isn't anything that they can do to change it. The only thing that you can do is change your outlook for the future financially by preserving your wealth with gold and silver. That's about it, folks. Even like what Bob used to say, you bring me another investment that will preserve your wealth like gold and silver at this point in time, in this stage, and I'll announce it.
Again, this idea that since 1971, the price of gold has increased, it's 39 times higher than it was just 42 years ago. 39 times. There aren't too many investments. There are probably a few out there. There were a couple of wonder stocks and whatever that did something comparable, but there is no other generic investment that you could have gotten into and just sit back and say, well, I'm going to go into precious metals and watch my income go up 39 times over the course of the next 42 years. If you had not your income, but your asset that you'd put in there. In other words, if you invested $30,000 in gold back in 1970, when the price was still $35 an ounce, today it'd be worth about $1.2 million. In terms of purchasing power, you might only have $500,000 or $600,000, but just the same, going from $30,000 to $500,000 or $600,000 in purchasing power, that is an extraordinary income. That's an extraordinary gain. It wasn't always up, sometimes down, but that's where it worked over the last 42 years. There's no reason to suppose that we're not going to see more of the same in the next 5, 10, however many years you want to point in the future. As long as we have a fiat currency, the price of gold is going to go up unless government works very diligently at trying to suppress the price. And that's what they've been doing, particularly for the last 2 years. But when they reach a point where they can no longer provide tangible physical gold to redeem their paper dollars in the markets. It's no longer being done with... Nixon would no longer redeem dollars for gold. When the markets will no longer redeem future contracts with tangible gold, we will see the same process, and all of a sudden gold is going to jump, and it's going to be something to behold. Probably not so long from now.
We have another question in. This is in from Ivan. According to Debka File, Israel's defense minister yesterday signaled that his military is prepared to strike shipments of advanced Russian weapons to Syria in a rare implied threat to Moscow. As far as we're concerned, that is a threat, he told reporters when asked about the shipments of weapons to Syria. Are we at the precipice of World War III?
I don't think we're at the precipice of World War III, but we are at a dangerous point, that's for sure. The Israelis can talk about attacking shipments, but my guess is they won't attack shipments while there are any Russians that are still associated with the process of moving those missiles to Syria, for example. But once those missiles have been deposited with their intended recipients, and the Russians back off a couple hundred yards and start heading back to Moscow, at that point in time, you can expect fire to rain down out of the sky, and it's going to destroy those missiles. I'll guarantee they're watching them, and they don't want to clash with the Soviet, with Russia. I'm sure they don't want that, and they'll try to avoid that. But once the Russians step away from those missiles, you can expect that Israel is going to strike them. That'd be my guess.
You know, there's so much turmoil going on. I mean, everywhere. We're going to talk about Sweden here in just a little bit. And, I mean, it's everywhere. Even, I think I saw France today had a similar situation as London did with one of their soldiers being attacked. So we're going to be talking about that in a little bit before we go on. But I think they're saving the war scenario for when they need it. I don't know how much they really control. We all know a lot of the big wars are instigated. You know, they can control them just like they do everything else. We know they've controlled past wars. But it's there.
You know, I don't think we're going to see World War III just yet. I don't think we're at the precipice of that just yet. No one's really prepared America for that. Mm. I think if there's going to be a World War III, I think unless it just happens by complete accident, I'm going to bet that we are going to be psychologically prepared with propaganda so we know who to blame and who to go after and explain that it's not the fault of our own government or whatever. We're not getting that. I'm not being pre-fed enough propaganda to make me accept a major war right now.
Yeah, but you know what, Al? When they did the war on terror, it wasn't prior to 9/11. It was only after 9/11 happened, uh-huh. Then were we prepared for it. So, yeah. What's going to come first, the event? Or,
all right, well, even so. It's one of those things, crapshoot.
Yeah.
We are certainly in interesting times. We're certainly in difficult times, and it's incumbent you look at it. What always happens in difficult times is the price of gold. Price goes up. In dangerous times, price goes up. We are living in difficult, dangerous, and interesting times, and what's happened? Price has gone down. It's irrational. It's contrary to thousands of years of human history and the rest of that sort of thing. And all it tells you, it's being manipulated. It's being artificially suppressed. How long can they continue to suppress it? Only so long as they still have gold to essentially give away at fire sale prices. When they run out of gold, just like Nixon in 1971, they finally close the gold window. At that point, everybody's going to be screaming for gold and the price is going to fly.
And we got a comment in from Murray. He says, folks are looking at the price of gold because they're looking at metals as an investment and not as real money. And that is so true. And it is that plain and simple. Yeah. And you have to look at it as real money. You mentioned that in the beginning of the program. We were talking about it being a commodity. And you have to look at the principles of both gold and silver. That's what you purchase. And that's why when you're going and you're trying to preserve your wealth, you have to look at gold and silver as real money as it is.
All right. What else have we got, Melody? We got 2 minutes or so before we have to bite the commercial bullet.
Yes, and we have a question in, according to Money News, I don't know if we have time to answer, in its half-yearly update, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development said that protracted economic weakness in Europe could evolve into stagnation with negative implications for the global economy. They slashed its forecast for the European countries that use the euro, saying it's going to shrink by 0.6% this year after 0.5% drop in 2012. Are we watching Asia and European markets? Should we not be able to determine our market's future? If we are watching Asian and European markets, should we not be able to determine our market's future?
Well, I'm not sure that I understand the question, but everything indicates that the global economy has cooled and continues to cool and heading into certainly recession, maybe depression. And what we see in the diminished economic activity in Europe only supports the idea we're certainly going into global recession, probably depression, probably where we are. I didn't understand the last part of the question, and maybe you can, we're going to take our break here for commercial announcements, And maybe you can run it by me a second time when we return.
All right.
All right, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Give Melody a call. We had a question that I didn't quite understand.
Hello?
Are we back on right now?
I can hear you now. But
all right, fine. It broke loose for some reason. Connection broke loose for 5-10 seconds there.
Right.
You had a question. You read
a
question.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much it was, you know, if we watch Asia and we watch the European markets and, you know, as they continue to have problems, that should, you know, we can pretty much determine our future because...
But how do we determine our own future, Melody, insofar... I mean, I agree with this. This is a great possibility and a great potential, but insofar as we are dedicated to global free trade and low tariffs, how are we going to determine our own markets and our own future in this country? I don't see how you're going to do that until you restore the tariffs, for one thing. And if they're having trouble in Europe, and if they're having trouble in Asia, it only means that their products are going to wind up being even cheaper than they are now. And they are going to be made available in this economy unless we put up tariffs. And if we have even cheaper products coming from China because their economy is faltering and therefore they're working for even less and they're selling even cheaper, how are we going to compete in our own country? How are we going to control our own markets within this country unless we set up tariffs?
Well, I mean, when you really look at the Asian and European markets, the only thing that shows that they're having any type of improved economy is based on the tons of money that they're throwing into the markets. It's temporary. Yeah. And I agree. I mean, we're going to have the tariffs, but I think we're even beyond the point, even if we had tariffs, we're beyond the point of even saving any part of our economy.
We can save part of it. The whole thing isn't going to just disappear.
No,
but,
I mean, no, it will continue. Commerce continues. However, you know, there's a large fraction of the economy and people of this country that will be affected. And the, you know, I heard discussions on the guy that was running that was the VP. What's his name? He was being interviewed this morning.
With Biden?
Not Biden. He was running with Romney. Paul, what's his, Paul Rand, I guess his name.
No, not Rand.
Rand Paul. No, not Rand Paul. Anyway, you know, he's talking, you know, all they were talking about is lowering the taxes for corporations, thinking that they'll be bringing their money back into this country, that they're actually going to, you think they're actually going to drop their rate 35% now down to 15% to be competitive with the Asian countries or, of course not. They can't do that. They won't do that.
The other problem is this. We have moved a significant part of our industry over to foreign countries. When we've done it, the government practically drove them out of this country by knocking down our tariff barriers and certainly invited and very nearly forced some industrial companies to relocate into third world nations. Now, how are we going to control our own economy? How are we going to control our markets if we don't have adequate production facilities? You know, you can sit back and say, ta-da, great, Europe isn't, they're having a problem, Asia's having a problem. That means we can go out and produce. But our productive capability is at least diminished insofar as we've moved some of our industries, some of our jobs overseas. We are still impaired, even if we see advantage. Can we take advantage of an opportunity right now?
Well, my question is, how will tariffs be effective when you have foreign countries coming in and taking over our corporation? Today, you had China's biggest pork producer. They're acquiring Smithfield Foods for about $4.72 billion to boost supplies for their nation. They're big consumers of pork in China. And the takeover is valued at over $7.1 billion, including debt, which is going to make the largest Chinese takeover of a U.S. company. And, yes, it's going to face scrutiny, but, you know, they're still going to pass it. They're going to, you know, pat them on the back. So not only now are we going to get bad pork, so if you ever thought about becoming a vegetarian, now's probably a good chance and a good time to do that. But so how would tariffs work on, you know, when these corporations...
Well, tariffs will prevent, in theory, tariffs are going to prevent China from importing or exporting pork from China to come into this country. If we raise our tariff barriers, it's going to, but it's not going to prevent China from buying... Huh. A plant in this country and exporting pork to China. The tariffs won't hurt exports, but they will inhibit imports. That would be the.
But they don't. But they don't have to import it because they're making it.
No, they're
here.
Not going
to.
No, they, I get that. I understand.
So,
but if we had higher tariffs, it would allow Americans to continue to maintain a standard of living and prices and wages that we've had in the past. It's because we went into global free trade and we sat back and said, okay, let's go over and we're going to trade with everybody and it's all going to be just wonderful. We're going to do kumbaya and the rest of that. We're all going to sing and be happy together. We have forced American labor to compete head on with Chinese labor or Mexican labor. And the result has been and will continue to be a declining standard of living for American workers. And as American workers have less, the economy will diminish, national prosperity will diminish, people at the top will do well, but 90% of the people will be impaired. They won't do as well. They won't be as prosperous. The American dream of every generation will live better than the previous generation will be terminated. We're now going to see them slide down the hill. If The idea behind global free trade is that there's something to be gained by making a television set in Dallas, Texas, and selling it in Peking. And I don't see why we couldn't just make the TV sets in Dallas and sell them in Idaho. Why do we have to export all the way to Peking? The fundamental idea behind this global free trade is that we can't just use our own market. We've got to open our market up to everyone who wants to compete and wants a chunk of the American pie, and we don't keep it for ourselves. We'll take a piece of the Chinese pie and give them a chunk of the American pie, and the American pie is way bigger. It's tastier. It's more nutritious. It's everything people want in pie. At least that's the way it was in this country. And we are giving that to allowing foreigners to take a chunk of our pie. In return, we get a chunk of their pie. They don't have any pie. Huh? It has been a bad choice. It's been contrary to the best interest of the American people. If we had simply kept our markets within the United States, we could be making our own computers, we could be making our own automobiles and our own washing machines and our own steel and God knows what else we could be making. The things we used to make, all these things before, why not make them now and just sell them between ourselves? If I want to work for $50 an hour making particular parts and sell them to somebody else who's working for $40 or $50 an hour here in the United States, we can hold this together and maintain a high standard of living. When we have to compete head-on with Chinese labor, guess what? You're going to be working for minimum wage in this country before it's all over, and glad to have it. The only difference between American wages and Chinese wages will be the cost of the transportation across the Pacific Ocean. It's bad business for everyone to get into this global free trade, or at least it's bad business for the vast majority of the American people. And we aren't going to see a return to a prosperous America until we back out of global free trade and just trade within the 50 states of the Union. I'm not saying you don't have any global trade, but restore tariff barriers, compete at reasonable wages, and it can work. We have the biggest market in the world.
Seems like it should work, but we know that's not going to happen. But anyway, it's the way it should happen.
Well, it's the way it could happen. It's just a question of enough people standing up at the same time. You don't know what's not going to happen. There's nothing that's impossible. You know, we could do good things in this country, but it requires people to all stand up at the same time and grab your congressman by the nape of the neck and tell him, we want you to do what's right for the people of the United States of America and not what's best for multinational corporations. Make him understand that if he wants to keep coming back to the town he grew up in, he had better start serving the American people rather than the damn multinational corporations. What else, Melody?
Let's see. We were going to talk about Biden, but I also wanted to make a comment that the person I was trying to think of was Paul Ryan, was Romney's VP.
Yeah, another 6 months, we won't even remember Romney. We've already forgot the vice president. Another 6 months, we won't even remember Romney. Who ran? I don't remember. I don't know.
Here's another comment. When you have free trade, who wins? He sees it as a poker table where everyone comes to the table with their stake. No wealth is generated, and the poker chips just move around the table. The winners are the psychopaths, sociopaths in charge of government.
Here's who wins. The multinational corporations win because they are in a position to buy or manufacture products where they are dirt cheap in third world countries, and then sell those products into what remains of European and American civilization. They get to sell the products at maximum price in the West, while they build the products at low price in the East. And the problem with that, it makes for a great profit margin for multinational corporations. But for a man who is living, see, the multinational corporations can work in China and sell in the U.S. But an average man, American, can't do that. You have to work within the United States. And if the products are being made over in Europe, in Asia, that means there's no job for the guy here in the United States. What would be better is if we made our own products here in the United States, we'd have higher rates of employment, the prices would be higher, but so would the wages. And so would the employment rate. We'd have more people employed working for higher wages. Huh? It would be a better situation. The average man can't go to work in China, or he can't buy things in China. He's trapped. The multinational corporations are not. They are the natural winners in global free trade. And global free trade does not help, certainly not the average American. Might help the average Chinese, but it's not helping the average American. It'll just do terrible things to this economy, but it'll be great for multinational corporations. They're the ones who profit because they can operate on both sides of the ocean at the same time. You and I can't.
Last week we talked a little bit about Sweden, and they had riots for, 4 or 5 different times? I guess we're just about running out of time, though, too, Al. But they had hundreds of Muslim immigrants through parts of the Stockholm, torching cars and buses, setting fires. This went on for 4, 5, 6 nights, and it all began after the police fatally shot an elderly man with a machete in a Muslim-majority neighborhood. And there's a backup article in this. We talked about it last week about the northern part of Europe has been overcome, increased.
By the Muslim influence. And there's an article here, expert, Islam taking over Europe soon to be unrecognizable. According to Dr. Mordecai Ketter, European softening together with demographics is leading to an abysmal change. They are essentially, I'm not sure how much of this is true and how much is just exaggerated for now. But the Europeans have allowed the Muslims to move in. The Muslims are taking full advantage, and when they get there, they're not assimilating. This is the great, people think that we're all just going to sit around again saying kumbaya. When you bring other cultures, people from other cultures into your country, and you don't expect them to assimilate, you allow them to speak a different language. You allow them their native tongue, like we do. Do you want English or you want Spanish? What do you want when you talk? You are inviting trouble that will destroy the nation before it's done. The same thing is true with the religion of peace, the Muslim faith. They are so peaceful that they'll chop your head off. If they're a majority, they'll cut your head off if you don't agree with them, just to show you how peaceful they are. And we are, if it were me, I have great respect for the sincerity of most Muslims, but I wouldn't let another one into this country if it was me. If I were in a position of control, it wouldn't happen. wouldn't be any more Muslim. It's just asking for trouble. We're going to have, if we don't have a single culture in this country, we aren't going to have a single country. And when it breaks down into little bitty chunks, all it means there will be nothing left to withstand the New World Order. We're going to out of time, and we can't get any deeper than we are in that particular subject right now. So I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back mañana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.